Who did what and who said what?
Oh my God.
Really?
Seriously?
Really?
I can't read through.
A little bit of this and that.
What are you saying?
Just Talking. Brought to you by In.com.
What looks like a Sanjay Leela Bhansali movie sounds like a Sanjay Leela Bhansali movie, but isn't a Sanjay Leela Bhansali movie? Kalank. This is Just Talking, brought to you by In.com, and my name is Kritika. So Kalank came out a few days back, and if you didn't know it was a Dharma production and that Abhishek Varman had directed it, you'd have no idea it was not made by SLB. Think about it. Elaborate sets, beautiful costumes, Madhuri Dixit plays a classy lady in a brothel, and a woman who isn't very happy in her marriage goes and visits her. It's like a cocktail with Devdas as the main ingredient, and they knew there would be parallels drawn and comparisons made, so they added a massive element of partition in it. It didn't completely work though. Everyone still said it had elements of Sanjay Leela Bhansali in it. So the movie set in 1945, so they had to make sure everything matched the theme. Apparently they spent 15 crores on the set alone. They recreated a Delhi mohalla and a mehel and everything, all within Mumbai's film city. It took 700 people and 3 months to build it, according to what the production house said. The story is really questionable, nothing so radical that we haven't seen in Bollywood already, but purely for its stunning visuals, Kalank became a movie that was worthy of the big screen. There are quite a few other films like this that have come out on Indian screens. Let's take a look at some of them. Sanjay Leela Bhansali's take on the epic of Devdas. Although the movie has been made so many times, SLB added such a sense of grandeur to the tale. The story needed kotas and mehels and havelis and crazy sets, and it wasn't easy because production kept getting stalled. Paro's room was one of the sets that required crazy attention to detail. They used more than 12 million pieces of stained glass to decorate it. She doesn't succeed in getting the love of her life, but at least she had a beautifully decorated room. Coming to Chandramukhi, Madhuri Dixit played her. And for one of the songs, her dress weighed 30 kilos. I have no idea how she could dance and do all those crazy moves, but she somehow pulled it off. Even her kota, where she resides and dances, the set was constructed around a lake because it was supposed to be in Banaras next to the river. But the lake kept getting dried up and they had to keep refilling it every single time they had to shoot there. They had all sorts of other problems as well, including this one time where there was a massive fire and the godown where a majority of the props were kept got destroyed. There were unexpected rains that sort of faded the stained glass on the sets. So if there are no protests against Sanjay Leela Bhansali on his film sets, fire and water will cause problems for him. He's jinxed. Yes, fire and water caused problems when Sanjay Leela Bhansali made Devdas, and the Karni Sena picked up where nature left off when he made Padmavat. There was a TV series, a Tamil movie, and even an opera that Sanjay Leela Bhansali helped produce before he thought, okay, let me make a movie like I would out of this story. It's set in 14th century India. The lights, the set design, oh my God, everything is so beautiful. And for the lack of a better word, big. It's just big. They had to pay attention to really small details. Like how, because it was the 14th century, glass wasn't used so much and the lights would flicker. So they decided to use flickering lights as one of the styles for scenes that were shot indoors. They just made the best of what they had. The costumes are so beautiful and each person needed to have a distinct identity. Ranveer Singh's had Afghan and Persian influences, Shahid Kapoor's was Rajput, and Deepika Padukone's had some Sinhalese influences because her character is supposed to be from Sri Lanka. And because Alauddin Khilji is so macho and Shahid Kapoor is this righteous king, even their war gear had to be really elaborate but total contrast at the same time. 40 people worked for 8 months to make Alauddin Khilji's armor. Think about that. One small scene and so much effort. Wherever Sanjay Leela Bhansali decided to shoot it, somehow goons turned up and managed to cause some trouble. And because scenes kept having to be reshot, the budget shot up to like 215 crores. After overcoming all of this, the movie finally released, and even then not in the whole country because some states banned it. Sanjay Leela Bhansali, man, he had a vision. People tried to stop him, but he went ahead and completed it. If only our politicians were as persistent and determined as him. One of the biggest projects to have ever been undertaken in India. Bahubali came out in 2 parts, and honestly, if you ask me, the story is not too original. It's like Game of Thrones meets Mahabharata or something. Revenge and family drama and some characters who speak some weird new language. Lot of effort, I'm sure, but what made it appealing to all of us were the visuals. Even outside of the movie, they made sure we had something to see before the film released. And they made a movie poster that was 50,000 square feet. It broke the Guinness World Record for its sheer size. They got the Jurassic World experts on board, so they got the right VFX, and that alone cost like 85 crores. If you watch the movies, you'll see that some scenes are not that convincing in terms of VFX, but maybe they made that towards the end and they didn't have enough budget left by then. They took over 110 acres of Ramoji Rao Film City to create the right kind of sets and even grew maize on fields for the shots. That's a crazy amount of effort, but it all paid off in the end. When you watch the movie, you get really involved with whatever they're showing you, right? Full points for efforts because it really shows. They spent like 250 crores in just making the film, but the kind of effort and time that it took, I mean, you cannot put a value to that. But we can at least go and see the film set because Ramoji Rao Film City has opened it up for us. I'm pretty sure there'll be a spin-off, man. We are Indians. We won't just let a thing like this die. Bombay Velvet. Man, it'll always be one of my favorite soundtracks to have ever come out of Bollywood. Amit Trivedi and his genius brain. That wasn't the only thing that was mind-blowing about this movie. They had to recreate Bombay from the 1960s and they moved to Sri Lanka for that because they couldn't find a space in India that would allow them to put up such a massive set and build roads around it and everything. Anurag Kashyap picked an empty pocket of land around 9 acres and they took 10 months to recreate the Bombay that they wanted. They transported 10,000 kgs of costumes, 25,000 kgs of material that they needed for the sets, sourced guns from Germany, had like 200 vintage cars brought in, and every day there would be 600 crew members on set. Obviously, they needed scale models before they went ahead and built the actual structures. And I was watching this video where Anurag Kashyap is explaining how he wants certain things to be constructed according to the scenes that were to be shot. Guess what he used for scale models? Tupperware boxes and whiskey bottles. Now we know how they got through the shoot. Mughal-e-Azam, it came out in 1960, but it's still considered one of the most epic filmmaking adventures in India. It used to cost around 10 lakhs to make a film back then, but they spent around 10 times that cost to make the set for one single song. Remember Pyar Kiya Toh Darna Kya? M.K. Sayed, the art director, went all out. The replica of Sheesh Mahal was massive and it took 2 years to work on and finish. Even the rest of the film needed locations for water features like fountains and pools. Then the interiors had to be royal enough for Mughal palaces. It cannot have been easy. And I think this movie sort of brought India together, you know. The Mughal costumes were made by Delhi-based tailors. The footwear was from Agra. Jewelry was sourced from Hyderabad. Crowns were designed in Kolhapur. The shields and swords and daggers were made by blacksmiths in Rajasthan. So you see, it just needed people from all over the country to come together and make something so beautiful. It shows on screen. Parineeta stars Saif Ali Khan and Vidya Balan. Think about it, a Tamilian who grew up in Bombay playing a Bengali on screen. It worked beautifully. Vidhu Vinod Chopra, who was the producer of the film, got Pradeep Sarkar to direct it. And together they thought, let's advance the time frame a little bit. And that's how Parineeta came to be set in the 1960s. It would have been a lot cheaper to build sets in Mumbai and just get it down with, but they wanted to make it as authentic as possible. So they decided to spend a little more money and shoot it in Calcutta. Of course, a lot of the sets still had to be recreated because it takes you back to the 1960s, right from going to Flurries to eating puchka on the streets to the dancing during Durga Puja and Moulin Rouge. I'm sure all of it required a lot of work. And one of the biggest expenses, they say, was the green car that Saif Ali Khan uses in the film. It's really beautifully made and it just makes you wonder. Yes, every city needs development, but Kolkata was so much more beautiful back then, even if you're only referring to the set that they show you. Savitri was one of the biggest female superstars India ever saw. And last year, we saw a movie that captured her rise to fame and all the ups and downs she had to face to get where she did. It's called Mahanati in Telugu and Nadigar Telagam in Tamil. And the set for this film was crazy. Because it was the story of an actress, they had to shoot some scenes of her being on film sets as well. So they recreated the sets of around 42 films. Like, for example, Savitri was in the movie Maya Bazaar. So they had to recreate the set of Maya Bazaar for the set of Mahanati. It's like Inception, a set within a set. Crazy, man. And they had to source all sorts of items like clapboards and telephones and cars. And every single thing had to span different time periods. Because every 10 minutes of the film, you see a different scene. They shot her life through 4 decades. So even the props had to change accordingly. They somehow pulled it off. And it's one of those rare films that has a great story that you really connect to and is really, really accurate visually. Ram Leela, the movie again brought in a lot of problems for Sanjay Leela Bhansali even while he was making it. It follows Bhansali's formula of grand sets, big shots and beautiful costumes. And he cast two of his favourites to play the main characters, Ranveer Singh and Deepika Padukone. Since the story is set in Gujarat, he wanted the sets to reflect the craft traditions and the folk culture that you see in Gujarat, especially the Kutch region. And sometimes it would take 3 to 5 hours to get the perfect shot of just one scene. So you can imagine how many times you could see the set and spot corrections if there were any. For around 2 to 3 months before he began shooting the film, Bhansali and his team just traveled around Kutch observing what the place looked like and what people did. And they initially wanted to shoot outdoors, but it got really tough to shoot action sequences and everything. So 90% of it ended up being shot on set. Each scene required different styles and colors and lighting, right from Leela's room to the garden with peacocks to the porn film parlor. There's so much attention to detail. When you see the film, you know it reeks of Sanjay Leela Bhansali. Goliyo Ki Raas Leela Ram Leela. The title's super long because Sanjay Leela Bhansali got in trouble and it couldn't just simply be called Ram Leela. But after all that effort, I'm sure Bhansali thought, what the heck, what's in a name, man? Let me just change it and release it. It's incredible the amount of effort that goes into making some of the films that come out of India. And we're all big suckers when it comes to movies that look great on screen. We're ready to excuse bad plots and mushy dialogues and cliched love stories if they make sure a trip to the theatre was worth it. These were just some of the films amongst the hundreds of visually tremendous ones that have been made. But hopefully there are more that we get to see. This is Just Talking, brought to you by In.com, and my name is Kritika.
Just Talking, brought to you by In.com.